differs from other trainers, more of an endurance guy. I mean, what's the fit for you with him? Why does he work so well?
Well, he's my only trainer that I've ever had. So
really? That's you don't have a basis for comparison.
Yeah, I don't have a basis for comparison, but I'm stuck with him, and he's stuck with me. So I mean, that's the relationship mm-hmm. that we made 4 years ago, and it's been awesome ever since. So
what made you pick him in the first place?
There was a friend of ours named Kurt Gobby that had Don't Tell My Wife Stables, a little claiming syndicate. Now it's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. But Kurt introduced me to Keith, knew I was passionate about horse racing, and we claimed a horse, Royal Rising, 4 years ago in March. In April, we met him, and I sent him to Ocala with some money, and met him at the Texas sale and sent him with some money to the 2-year-old in training in April sale, Ocala, and we bought two horses, and then we claimed a couple more, and we went to California, and we thought we were big time.
How many horses do you have with him now?
With the group, with Ronnie, which is Rock Row Ranch, and I together, we have six 3-year-olds, 1 4-year-old, and then some, I don't know the exact number, 12 mm-hmm. and 2-year-olds in training.
But you were one of the first ownership entities to give him some more money to go to
give
the
give him
sale.
Some real money. I mean, or give him some, I mean, he had some other owners that gave him some money before that, but, you know, I gave him some money and I believed in him and I knew that he was, I just loved the way, well, I watched him at Texas and I loved his horsemanship. I love what his focus. You see it here, you see it at the, you know, he's not extremely media friendly in some ways, or he puts the horse first. Right. And that's what I want. I mean, we decide what's the best for the horse. We don't decide what's best for us as owners mm-hmm. and not the best as trainers. We put the horse first. And I think that's a little bit of a different mentality yeah. than most people have in this industry.
You saw that in Texas originally?
When I met him, that's uh-huh. where I saw him.
Yeah. And what were your initial impressions of him?
I thought he was...
personality.
I thought he had a great personality, yeah. but I just thought he was just honest. I mean, I just was blessed to be a good reader of people and we hit off a great relationship right off the bat, and we talked on the phone and met him, and then we just kept on talking and built that friendship. And you know, he's the trainer, but he's also the owner of this horse too. I mean, he owns a part of this horse, and it's a true partnership, mm-hmm. and that's different than most people. I mm-hmm. mean, heck, I would help Manuel or any of them or Vic or whatever get hay off the barn. If they, whatever they need me to rake the shed rows today, I don't mind. I mean, I mean, it doesn't bother me to do anything. I mean, we're blessed and excited to be here. Yeah. Just trying to soak everything up.
Well, what did you think when, after the San Felipe, when the horse was third and he said, oh, maybe he's a miler? Were you thinking, no?
Nah, that's when I knew we had something good, to be honest with you. Yeah, that's exactly when he said that, because he said that right before on I've Struck a Nerve. He said the exact same thing. He's like, I don't know if he can get the distance. I said, please say that one more time. He's like, I don't know if I can get that distance.
And I said, yes.
I said, oh, my goodness, we're going to. And then that work, the next work came out right before the before. And Kent and
bye, Elliot.
See you. See y'all later.
Okay. I forgot what I said. I'm sorry.
What Julie actually said, I asked her about that, and she said he doesn't want to set himself up to be disappointed, so he
that's
looks
right.
like a real pessimistic.
Yeah,
dude, you know?
he doesn't want to set. He doesn't want me to be disappointed. He doesn't want, as an owner, he's always trying to protect the owner, protect the horse. He's trying to. He's a very protective person. I mean, he's protective of his family. He's protective of his horses. He's a very, I guess I would say, protective man. I mean, so that's just kind of what I mean. So, but no, I when the week before, I was excited. When he went 102 and I got a text from Kent and Keith, one said perfecto and the other one said work was awesome. And if you looked at the work, it said 102 and change, 102 and 4, 102 and 3. And if you read that and you look at all exaggerators' works before, they're 58, 59 minute. And he ran a 102 today and perfect. I mean, that's what we want him to do. We don't want him. He's got plenty of speed. We are not trying to put speed into him. And that was one thing that coming out of the San Vicente, going into San Felipe, we running against Nyquist, man, we were putting speed into him. We didn't need to put any more speed into him. We actually need, you know, where a lot of Derby horses need to put speed into them because they're endurance horses and they need more speed. So.
Mm-hmm. That move he made in the Santa Anita Derby, it's hyperbole, but some people have termed that as an Rossi-esque move that he made on the turn there with the way he accelerated. Did that surprise you at all? Just, you know, not just that he won, but just the way he won that day?
You know, yes and no. I mean, it just looked typical Keith Kent, way Keith trains them and Kent can and rides them, and when they and that they got along and they settled, and he was just truly, truly just settled and yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was amazing. I mean, it didn't. I mean, the mud didn't scare us. The none of that scare. I mean, as an owner, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he likes every surface. He, you know, it doesn't matter if it's off track, fast track, hard tracks, you know, slop, whatever. I mean, so.
And it seems like with this horse too that the physical talent has always been there, but it's just a case of him maybe mentally trying to catch up with the rest of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he just likes to play around and likes to have fun. You know, I mean, he's a showman. I mean,
yeah.
When he was walking around here, he's a showboat a little bit. You know, so he so. He's a good guy though. I mean, he's a great horse. He's a super special horse. So we're very blessed to have him.
Is this a Turf Rider question, or do you allow yourself to think about being maybe part of history if two brothers would actually team to win that?
Yeah. That'd be cool. I mean, that would be amazing to have that opportunity to be part of the history and see that. I mean, that's what you always dream of. And it's not about us. I don't think for me as an owner, it's not about me or Ronnie or anything like that. Now we're enjoying it all, but it's, I mean, watch Keith and Kent get a shot at Kent's. I mean, he told us he wants to win 600 more races. I think 610 more races. So he'd be the all-time winningest jockey in Louisiana. I think that's what that's his goal.
There's some serious competition there.
So he wants to be the all-time winningest jockey in Louisiana. So he's going to stay around and, you know, he figures he needs one about, he's got to work about six more years. And he's rededicated his life. So Kent's rededicated his life. Keith, you know, man, we've got some great two-year-olds coming up. We got these horses coming up. So, I mean, it's exciting. It's really, really exciting in that aspect.
The question she just asked triggered kind of an emotional response from you.
Yeah.
It's got a little watery. What is the behind that? What were you thinking?
Well,
just the history of it all.
Just the history of this. The just how hard that Keith and Kent, you know, they've dedicated their life to this. And I mean, it's a hard life. This is not.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody thinks it's all fame and fortune, and I don't know, Ronnie and I and his sons. I mean, we're all. Come from hard working. I mean, we came from working, had jobs since we were 12 years old, and put our time in, and they put their time in. So, I mean, we can't go buy, you know, $1 million horses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is exciting for us to see, you know, the effort of Keith, the effort of Kent, you know, the rededication. He's a Hall of Famer, but to see something like that, so. You know, in my opinion, it's just to see all of us, Ronnie and I and Cody and Cole Ortowski and our families, we've all been hardworking people that have worked hard for our money and they put a lot of time and effort into it. So it triggers a lot of emotion in the aspect that, you know, this is it's a blessing, but man, if somehow we could pull this off, this is unbelievable, crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's. Because if this was a money game, we can't compete in this.
Mm-hmm.
We can't compete in. I mean, against the people that are we're competing against.
Right.
I mean, they're billionaires, not millionaires. Not, I mean, they're billionaires. So you know, that's the exciting part. And just you know, Keith's put his whole life in this. I mean, went to Louisiana Tech, comes from six brothers and sisters, his family. I mean, got a degree in this. All his other brothers and sisters are college educated. Kent is, you know, Hall of Fame jockey. I mean, it's just exciting to see the DeSormo family, and they strive, everything they've done, they've always been winners. But to give Keith and Kent a shot to do it together is emotional for us, or emotional for me.
You're not a billionaire, and I don't know all of your background. What, how'd you make your money?
I sell industrial diesel engines, generators, and transmissions, and build oil field service equipment.
Okay. And where are you based?
Dallas, Texas, or Arlington, Texas.
Pete, talk about, you know, trying to compete with the billionaires. It still can be a lot of numbers game as far as numbers of horses, and Keith doesn't get the number of two-year-olds that some of these guys
We don't get the numbers. So, I mean, we run it like a business. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just don't have horses that we, Ronnie and I and Keith, we sit down and we run it like a business. And they, I mean, and we have to make those horses turn a profit, and we look at the cost of what we're putting in each one of them. And it, so it's a huge blessing, but it's also, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. There have been cases where horse gets to this level and a billionaire swoops in and buys it. Is this one for sale?
No, I mean, he's, I mean, we have a partner with Saul Kumnan, head of Plains, and he came in and bought a little percentage of it. He wanted a piece of him, and so we took a little money off the table, but Ronnie and I and Keith still have a majority of the horse, the same original piece of it. And
I mean, you've sold his stallion rights then to?
No, he's just going to retire at Windstar Farms.
Okay. So, details to be determined.
Yeah, or, I mean, we're still working through the details and everything. So, but he will retire at Windstar Farms.
He's just going to stand there.
Yeah, that's where he's going to stand. And Kenny Trout's from Dallas. And so it's very exciting to have a Dallas guy that came into this industry 20 years ago. And, I mean, it just seems, I mean, and we've met a lot of really great people, tailor-made people, and Windstar both are just phenomenal groups, and their family, and they get it. So.